Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
We didn't get a whole lot of madness in the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament, but if you stayed up for it on Saturday night and Sunday night, you were treated to a couple of gems in overtime as Houston advanced over Texas A&M on Sunday night, and Creighton was the winner over Oregon very late night on Saturday night in this wild couple evening closers, if you will. So what we got was a whole bunch of the favorite teams. All the ones and twos have advanced, and not very many low seeds are involved in this tournament going forward into the Sweet 16. The worst seeds remaining in this tournament are the ACC champion, North Carolina State, and Clemson, number six, also out of the ACC, a six seed. Not number six in the country, but a six seed. The rest of it is all just scratch. The best teams advanced. There apparently wasn't a lot of parity in college basketball this year. We saw the best teams move on. We'll talk a little bit about the Kansas Jayhawks as well and their disappointing finish. It is all brought to you today by Cross Kitchens KC, Kansas City's remodeler. If you have even considered some new countertops or a new bathroom remodel, or maybe redo the kitchen for the entire family, give Cross Kitchens a call at 816-898-7047 or log on to crosskitchenskc.com. We begin with the Kansas Jayhawks and their season ending with a thud on Saturday and the very controversial statement of Bill Self in his postgame news conference saying he's been thinking about next year for the last month. Travis Goff, the athletic director at Kansas, correctly pointed out in a tweet that most coaches over the last month or two have been thinking about next year because, as we know, college basketball coaches are not just the head coach, they're the general manager, and they wear two hats. And the general manager, for example, of any team, whether it's the Royals or Chiefs or any sports team, in season is looking toward next year. Trades are made. Maneuvers are made. Scouting is taking place for the draft or talent acquisition. So, yes, Bill Self most certainly every year during the season is in some small way thinking about next year. Even if it's just one guy on his team thinking, I don't want this guy back. He's going to be gone, and I've got to go find this position in the portal or high school recruiting or junior college transfer. Coaches do think about the next season at some point. Bill Self, who is... I would use the word artful with the media. He is artful. He is entertaining. He's truthful. He says what's on his mind. He's open, and he's usually pretty relaxed in front of the media. But he had a couple of bad moments this past week. The first was when he was talking about Kevin McCullough, who was out for the tournament. It appeared that Bill Self was angry and made it sound like Kevin McCullough Jr. had decided on his own that he wasn't going to be playing going forward. A lot of people interpreted it that way. KU put on a full media blitz defense of, oh, he didn't mean it that way. McCullough's a stud. Everybody loves him. Here he is on the bench. We're all standing by our brother. Blah, blah, blah. Then, after losing, in a game where Kansas, offensively in the first half against Gonzaga, looked as good as they have at any point this year, they were making three-pointers right and left. They were a well-oiled machine. And I was saying to my buddy, we were traveling back from our Vegas trip watching the game in the Las Vegas airport. I said, you know, Rob, what's missing here, what I can't figure out, and I haven't been able to figure out all year, is why isn't Bill Self the same? What's going on with this coach? Why aren't his teams as tough? Why aren't they as disciplined? Why isn't he as animated? Why isn't he as tough on his players? And there's a million reasons why. Not the least of which is health issues that he's been through and the valve in his heart and all the things that he probably deals with that are, I would think, much bigger picture issues than winning a basketball game when push comes to shove. And then, of course, with transferring and unlimited free agency, we've talked about this quite a bit, you really can't discipline your players, yank them out of games, get scream and holler at them, and make them all mad and angry, because if you do, they're going to transfer on you. And so it's such a delicate position now to be a college football or basketball coach with all this free agency. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, okay, Kansas has maybe just played its best half of offensive basketball, not at Allen Fieldhouse, all year, just pouring in three-pointers. What, they make 7 out of 13 or something in the first half? Just pouring them in, lighting up the scoreboard, looking good. Every time they threw it down low to Dickinson, he'd score. There was no answer for it. They're doing all these great things. I'm like, this defense is horrible. There's no toughness. They've got all the parts they need. There's athleticism there. There's players there. There's veteran players. Dwan Harris at one point was considered to be a great defensive player. Sure, McCullough's out, who's your big-time defensive stopper. But you got plenty of parts, man. You got a big man down low that can protect the rim and all these things. And they're not stopping Gonzaga at all. And I'm like, I don't even get this. Because, you know, they'd given up, what, 89 points in the opener? Like, what is this of a Bill Self basketball team? And I couldn't put my finger on it. I said, something isn't right. It's getting harder. It should have been, you would think it would be getting easier to coach at Kansas with all the money they have and what they're willing to spend and what they can spend in going out and getting a guy like Hunter Dickinson in the portal and what they will spend going forward. You'd think it would be easier, but it's not. It's not working. And it wasn't just a handful of games this year where you watched Kansas and said, they don't look the same. And then when Bill Self said that after the contest on Saturday, he said, you know, the last month I've really been thinking about next year. There's good and bad in that. The bad gets the headline. The bad is the strongest interpretation of this, if somebody literally wants to take it to the, you know, nth degree, is that Bill Self quit on his team. That he watched him and said, I give up on these guys. I'm worried about next year. We'll phone this in the rest of the way. We'll see what happens. McCullough doesn't want to play. He's hurt. Dickinson's got a shoulder problem. I don't care about this. I'm thinking about next year. If you want to stretch it out at the nth degree, you're not going to get any argument from me because they looked like that. They looked like that multiple times this year. There were multiple times the Kansas Jayhawks looked like they were throwing in the towel this year. And I don't like to use the Q word. And I don't like to call anybody a quitter. I know a lot of Kansas fans think McCullough quit on the team. I'll ask you this. If you think McCullough quit on the team, then you'd better think Bill Self quit on the team because Bill Self said it out loud. And it was shocking to hear. My interpretation is it's somewhere a mixture of both. That yes, every season, every coach thinks over the last 6 or 8 weeks of the season, what do we have to do better next year? What pieces do we need? I've got to put my general manager hat on. What do we have to go out and do? And you're thinking about the next season. That's not unusual at all. I buy that. I agree with that. But I also think hearing Bill Self's comments about Kevin McCullough, I think he was disappointed that the player wasn't playing. And I think Bill Self saw all this coming, and he saw some quit in his players, and I think he threw in the towel, and I don't think they ever had a chance. I just don't think they had a chance. And I think he knew. And now that we're watching all these ones and two seeds advance and some of the players on these teams and studs that they have and the way that they play, you know, what's really remarkable about the NCAA tournament is flipping channels from one game to another. When they're all playing at once, when there's a bunch of games on at one time, sometimes four channels, but a lot of times even this weekend, three channels, the difference in intensity from game to game is remarkable. Like watching Houston and A&M on Sunday night, it was just a rock fight. I mean, it was just an absolute slugfest. There was passion. There was effort. There was grit. There was determination. And we didn't see much of that from Kansas this year. They had a couple of really nice games. They pounded Houston at Allen Fieldhouse. They beat UConn. They clearly had talent, but they never had what Bill Self's best teams at Kansas have, and that is that defensive grit, that pound the floor, clap your hands, let's go, we're getting a stop right here, and then we're going to go down and score and take the lead. We just didn't see that out of this group. And I think the question can be asked, will we ever see it out of a Bill Self team again? I don't think the question is, has he lost it? My God, they were a four seed. They had a fine season. Nothing. The Kansas Jayhawks were not an embarrassment of a basketball team. They just weren't what they've been under this coach. They don't look like their coach anymore. And it's been a couple of years. Last year was a health problem with him. This year, I don't know. I can't explain it. They don't play like Bill Self basketball teams. We've watched. The only reason that I bring this up is we've watched all these great coaches who've won multiple national titles. And then they seem to, at the end of their career, have several years where their team is not the same, but they're cashing giant paychecks. And maybe it's the money. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe you get older. Maybe the system's changing. Maybe it's a health issue. We've seen a lot of health. We saw Roy Williams go through health issues. We saw Coach K go through health. Jim Boeheim. All these guys had big time personal or health issues and things, and just kept coaching and collecting checks. But we didn't watch any of them and really think that we were watching the coaches in their prime at the end. And I think the question should be asked, is that where Kansas is with Bill Self? And as a Kansas fan, do you want 5, 6, 7 years of Bill Self light as your coach? And is this the beginning of that? I can't answer what's going to happen in the future. I can tell you what I saw. What I've seen the last 2 years is that's exactly what it looks like. A coach with health issues, making a pile of money, with 2 national titles in his back pocket, says over the last month he hasn't even been thinking about this year's team. He was thinking about next year's team. Got upset with a player who quit on him, essentially, and didn't want to play. It has all the markings of a coach coaching it out. It also might be a frustrated coach that doesn't know, like, or understand the new system. We just saw that with Nick Saban, who said, I'm out. I'm done with this. These kids don't want to come play for Alabama, and they don't want to come play for me to get to the NFL anymore. They ask me, how much am I going to play, and how much are you going to pay me? And that's all they want to know. And Alabama doesn't matter. Is that what's happening at Kansas? And how does Bill Self feel about that? He's recruited guys forever that wanted to, big men that wanted to play for Bill Self. Kids that wanted to play for Kansas. Is that gone? Are they all just asking, how much am I going to play and how much am I going to make? And if they are, how does Bill Self react to that? It doesn't look like them. It was not a great showing against Gonzaga. That second half was kind of a disaster, but you know, we saw it many times. They lost by 29 to Tech. They lost by 30 to Houston. They had some games where they were pounded. They weren't a 1 or 2 seed. They never really looked like they were ranked in the top. They were ranked as a 1 or 2 seed all year, but they never looked like it. They had a lot of weeks where they were 1-1 in the Big 12. And the pollsters just said, yeah, well, it's the Big 12. So Kansas went 1-1 this week. We'll leave them here at number 7. They got the benefit of the doubt, and they probably should have gotten the benefit of the doubt based on past history. But it isn't right. It didn't look right. In the future of Kansas basketball, if you're being honest, you have to be like on the last 20, the last 40 years, basically, the last 40 years, your level of worry of Kansas basketball on a scale of 1 to 10 in the offseason and going forward with your coach or whatever, your level of worry since the probation of Larry Brown and Roy Williams coming in, your level of worry, let's say since Roy Williams' first year, on a scale of 1 to 10 has been about 1. Right now, if you're being honest, it's probably 5 or 6. And you're thinking, uh-oh, is this a fork in the road? Is this a transition time for Kansas basketball? We'll see. Hey, it's not as bad for Bill Self as it is for John Calipari. I mean, the Kentucky fans want him out. They just flat want him out. And I don't, you know, I grew up with Mitch Barnhart. I've known him my entire life. His brother Eric was my roommate in college. I've known the Barnhart family forever. I know that they're probably all attached at the hip. But Mitch Barnhart, as the AD at Kentucky, has built the football program into something pretty good. Like, that's a big deal. There's a lot of money in that, and they play pretty good football at Kentucky. I think Mitch Barnhart can fire John Calipari if he wants and go find a new coach. And the fact that he hasn't and doesn't, to me, probably speaks to their friendship, probably speaks to the loyalty that when Mitch asked Cal to come coach there and he said yes, there's probably a long payback for that, but you cannot explain why Kentucky is hanging on to John Calipari. The guy's lost twice in the tournament to Kansas State. You can't explain this. And I think if you're a Kansas fan, the worry you have is that Bill Self becomes John Calipari. It sounds unthinkable, but it happens to all of them. All of these coaches that have won titles and are big stars in the sport and big names, they lose something as they get older. The guy that's not losing it is the guy that beat Kansas. Mark Few has been to the Sweet 16 at Gonzaga 9 years in a row. That's an insane stat that I did not know until they beat Kansas on Saturday. Absolutely remarkable. I got a lot of emails from many of you, disappointed that these games took too long over the first 4 days. Remember, halftime is longer, and every commercial break is a minute longer. And a minute doesn't sound like much. It adds up, baby. Every commercial break is 1 minute longer. It's money. This is why we can pay coaches $10 million a year, and they can pay $2 million for a transfer player. Don't complain about the length of the game. If you brag about how much you pay your coach and you brag about the transfer portal and the money you paid a player to come in, if you're happy that you're paying your coach all this money and you're happy that you're paying players all this money, which most fans are. They brag about this sort of thing. I've never understood it. No complaining about the length of games. They're only going to get longer to make more and more money. The most shocking, horrible, terrifying decision by any coach happened on Sunday night with Kelvin Sampson in Houston and was not asked about it on the court after the game. Houston's up 13 points with a minute 17 to go, and they blow it. They missed some free throws. A&M chucked in a couple of threes. You've seen this before. You know college basketball. But then they say, as it's a five-point game, Kelvin Sampson doesn't like to foul. He likes to let teams shoot threes. So he's going to let them shoot threes. Okay, fine. He loves his defense. I get that. Until it's a three-point game, and I think there was maybe 10 seconds left, and they chucked up a couple of horrible three-pointers, A&M did, and missed them, but it goes out of bounds to A&M. Now A&M has the ball under their own basket, down three, with 1.2 left on the clock. At this point, I don't care what your philosophy is. You don't let them inbound the ball. The ball never leaves the in. The second the ref hands it to the inbound passer, somebody gets fouled. Like, no time off the clock. Pick a guy, whack him. Don't let the ball come in. Period. Oh, no, not Kelvin Sampson. He's got a rule. We don't foul and put you at the line. Really? Really? A bounce pass to the top of the arc. Ridiculous. It was almost a five-second violation for not getting it in time. A one-bounce pass to an unlikely player, the third or fourth target, fires it up at the buzzer, makes the three-pointer, and goes to overtime. Houston does win in overtime, but my goodness, if they'd lost that game, it was only on one person, Kelvin Sampson. You have to foul with 1 second left. You cannot let somebody inbound the ball and even throw up a shot. You can't do it. It was a wild finish. And the Creighton-Oregon game was wild on Saturday night as well, but most of this was scratch. One of the big headlines is Dan Hurley of UConn. We'll talk more about him later in our final. He's went all crazy at the microphone after their win on Sunday that every Big East team has advanced to the Sweet 16, but only three are in, which is pretty remarkable. Those three are UConn, Marquette, and Creighton, and they have all advanced to the Big East. Certainly looking good here. We are set for a Sweet 16. It'll be a fun Thursday because we got our Royals season opening watch party that we'll have for the patrons. If you want to join as a patron, you still have time to join this week and join us on Thursday for the watch party with the Royals and the Twins for the season opener. More Royals coming right up. As sports is brought to you today by ticketsforless.com. If you'd like to go to opening day on Thursday at Kauffman Stadium, 66 degrees and sunny, ticketsforless.com. Please don't forget the promo code KKHI. It's KKHI on any ticket, whether you want the cheap seat up in the rafters or you want seats in a suite or a dugout suite, ticketsforless.com. If you don't like logging on and doing it that way, call them locally. A real person here will answer the phone and walk you through the entire process. Take your credit card information and do it all for you. 913-685-3322. That's 913-685-3322. Or online at ticketsforless.com using the promo code KKHI, which I did and saw a show in Vegas on Friday night. Through ticketsforless.com. That was awesome. Ideal Health KC is Kansas City's regenerative medicine center. Dr. Kip Van Camp would love to consult with you about any chronic pain that you have. Joint pain, back pain, COVID shot issues, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's onset. If you've got some kind of issue, you need to see Dr. Van Camp. If you've not been able to fix this with shots or surgeries or whatever, pharmaceuticals, Dr. Van Camp would like to give you all the information you need to make an informed opinion for yourself. Your body's tissue and blood can work for you. Regenerative medicine works. IdealHealthKC.com, 913-745-5300. And my friends at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC in Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty, they now have a Chevy Silverado under $30,000. Call for details right now. Brand new, 816-826-1563. Low interest rates are back. Incentives are back. RobertsRobinson.com. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC in Excelsior Springs. I've ordered up four new tires. I'm getting put on A week from Friday, I'm going up to the dealership. They're going to put my new tires on for me on my Chevy Blazer. I'm pretty excited about that. I got the lifetime warranty because I bought my Chevy Blazer at Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs. The Royals open this week on Thursday. They're playing Northwest Arkansas on Monday night, but Thursday the Royals open against the Twins. Cole Reagans gets the start for Kansas City. It looks like Michael Massey will not be playing second base for the Royals. Massey has back tightness, and they might put him on the IL to start the year. Royals also saw an injury to pitcher Michael Wacha, who was a big acquisition this offseason, hit on the hand with a ball. They don't think it's too serious. They'll be doing x-rays today. They do not think it is a big problem or too serious. A couple of roster items, Nick Prado and Drew Waters were optioned to the minors. Pitcher Matt Sauer made the roster, and you're asking yourself, Matt Sauer, who's that? Royals acquired him through Rule 5 from the Yankees. Rule 5 is a pretty simple deal. It's an unprotected player that if you buy them for $50,000, you can put them on your roster, but they have to stay with your major league team all season. If you decide they're not on your major league team, the other team can buy them back for $50,000. In this case, it's the Yankees. Okay, that's great. Matt Sauer maybe has a bright future. Rule 5 is a cool thing, and sometimes it can work out. It's also normally a sign that a team doesn't think it can contend. You're taking up a roster spot here with a guy who's never been past double A. But maybe Matt Sauer's really good, and maybe he's ready for the big leagues. That would be awesome. Most famous Rule 5 guy in Kansas City history probably would have been the Mexicutioner, Joaquin Soria, pretty big-time Rule 5 guy. And I'm just going to ask the question, why aren't the Royals signing Trevor Bauer? This guy's an all-star caliber pitcher. He just signed a 5-game contract to pitch for a Mexican team. They played against the Yankees yesterday in Mexico. Bauer went 3 scoreless innings against the Yankees, pitching for a Mexican team. What are the Royals waiting on? I don't care how good you think your starting pitching is. You can use Trevor Bauer. Sign this man. Get serious about winning right now. Do this. We'll see how it plays out beginning on Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. One giant story in baseball may get some clarity on Monday as Shohei Ohtani, the Dodgers star, is doing media. He's going to have a press conference about this gambling scandal, which I'm light on details, but we're all light on details. We know there's millions of dollars involved. We know that the interpreter, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, because he doesn't speak English, wired money out of Ohtani's account to pay gambling debts. And Ohtani and his people are now saying it was the interpreter that was gambling and peeing all this money away. This was a wild scandal. We were in Vegas over the weekend for the basketball tournament. By the way, Vegas got killed on basketball. All these favorites winning and covering just slaughtered Vegas this weekend. And my man Lee Sterling, I had one of you email me and say you signed up for his basketball package after hearing him last Wednesday. He won his first 11 games in this tournament. He started 11-0. Lee Sterling did. Phenomenal. Good for you if you got signed up and you followed Lee's picks in the tournament to this point. He had A&M last night. That was a good one. Shohei Ohtani was a huge story in Vegas because everybody's talking about this saying, well, if there's $4.5, $5 million they found that got wired out, he's probably gambled away $20 million or more. Generally speaking, you don't have to pay it all off. You have a bookie, they'll let you keep some debt. So a lot of people think when you're whaled, you're this much money, that they'd take $5 million from Ohtani or the interpreter or whatever, but it's probably 4 times that he was in debt, some $20 million. I don't know what the heck's going on here. I don't know if Ohtani was betting. I don't know if it was the interpreter. I don't know who was doing what. This looks terrible. This looks terrible on all counts. And you can't rule out that Ohtani was involved in this and is going to be suspended and not allowed to play this year. Like they're saying, well, there was no baseball betting. Well, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I don't think they have legalized gambling in California where he plays. They have casino gambling. You can't sports bet in California. This is against the law in a lot of places still. I mean, I'll watch. I'll grab some popcorn and watch and see what happens with Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. They're now saying they're going to the authorities and you're going to what? And arrest the interpreter? And some people who are experts in the culture are saying there's a chance that the interpreter, because Otani is his boss, that there's an order of things. The way you do things in the culture is you fall on the sword for your boss and it pays off somewhere down the road. I have no idea what's going to happen. That doesn't sound all that American to me, but we're not talking about Americans here. So I don't know. This is going to be wild. But I will continue to ask the question, why in the world are the Royals not signing Trevor Bauer? He is just sitting out there. And he lit up the Yankees on Sunday. Wow. Hey, interesting story from the NCAA Wrestling Championships at T-Mobile Center, Thursday through Saturday here in Kansas City. We saw the great wrestlers. We know Missouri's great program and all the wonderful things that they do. There were a couple of wrestlers, one from Penn State and one from Iowa State, that grabbed an awful lot of headlines. They won their national titles. Aaron Brooks won his fourth national title for Penn State. And the second he did, he put a headband on that said 100% Jesus. David Carr from Iowa State won the 165-pound championship and immediately put on a headband that said 100% Jesus. They celebrated. They ran around the floor. They mugged for cameras. They went to their news conference. They answered questions and talked about their Lord and Savior. And there was a time and place where it was a cliche, and a lot of people would just kind of joke or make fun of, I love you, Mom, or thank you, Jesus, from sports athletes. But if you do it now, it's powerful. Because if you do it now, you're bucking a lot of trends in America. You're making a powerful statement, mostly to the left in this country, that you're not canceling Christianity. You're canceling a lot of things in America and changing our culture in a million ways. You are not canceling this. And I am 100% Jesus. And I thought it was really cool to see. And I know there's rules. There's things these kids can and can't do. I don't think they're going to get in any trouble for wearing these things. Technically, I think last night in the A&M Houston game, when A&M hit that shot at the end of regulation and all those players went out and ran on the floor on top of the kid, I think technically they could have called a technical foul for leaving the bench. That game wasn't over. Now, obviously they didn't. We love it when cooler heads prevail. I'm not 100% sure on the rule, but that game was not over because it was going to overtime at that point, and they went running out there. But the same thing here, you know, there's certain things you can and can't do that you can and can't wear. I guess when your match is over, that changes everything. But we tip our caps to Aaron Brooks and David Carr for their headbands after winning their national titles, wrestling at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City this weekend for their headbands that say 100% Jesus. Pretty cool stuff. On to the news of the day, brought to you by Advantage Termite and Pest Control, online at AdvantageTPC.com, 913-768-8989. That's 913-768-8989. And Jessica said with the rain, we got some little, I don't know, are they mites? They're little bitty, teeny tiny things you almost need a microscope to see. We got a few of them back by our back sliding door in the man cave. She says, hey, remind me tomorrow, I'm calling Advantage. They will be right out. And those babies will be gone, and that'll be that. I don't even know what they are, those little red thing, kind of red, little bitty things. That won't take long to clean that up. With Advantage Termite and Pest Control, there'll be no charge. We're on the regular service. You see anything between treatments, they come right out, take care of it, and you are good to go. AdvantageTPC.com. Back 9 Development is Kansas City's custom home builder. And TJ's a really unique guy. He does a lot of different kinds of projects, but with each one, you get his personal touch. It's hands-on with the owner of the company. Whether you're building a custom home in Kansas City or want to look at one of his lots that he has in Lansing at his development there called The Dunes, or if you're looking for a condo in Manhattan, he even does commercial developments. If that's your industry and you have investors and some land and you want to develop something commercially, you should at least meet with TJ and get his thoughts on bringing your plan to life, executing your plan. Back9development.com, 785-236-0161. They're online at back9development.com. And don't forget, the new Hellfire knife is out from Finch Knife Company. Three different types of handle options here. Gold resin looks like a bowling ball, white bone, or the shredded carbon fiber. They're available locally at Shields and Hill Creek Market or direct from finchknifeco.com. They're available nationally through the dealer network. Just Google Finch Knives, Finch Pocket Knives, man. Keep life from getting dull online at finchknifeco.com. Love that. All right, on to the news, and Donald Trump's in the news because at midnight tonight, he's going to apparently owe $454 million in New York. You know, we did the podcast on Friday about money. We had Trevor Holsinger on, and I welcome all your emails, your thoughts on that, on whether you enjoyed some of that content from time to time, two or three times a year, if you're interested in finances or not. I got a good feel for what the audience likes. I don't know how into finances you are or money you're into. So if you want to shoot me an email, give me your thoughts on Trevor on Friday, I'd love to hear that. He's with Aspen Wealth Management. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen. We had Pete Mundo on Thursday. Appreciate him coming on. I thought it was a fascinating interview, both of them. If you have not heard the Thursday and Friday episodes, the interview episodes, give them a listen at some point today. Just go back one podcast episode, and they are right there for you. Love your input. Always feel free to send your input on doing things different. And interview podcasts are different here. So let me know what you think. Kevin at kkasissues.com. Donald Trump owes the $454 million. And I'll tell you what, if they want to go seize his house or golf course at this point, I welcome that. Go do it. Because you're going to make a martyr out of Donald Trump. I mean, they can't do this. It's going to take forever. It sounds like she's just going to walk in and take the keys and he's going to lose his house or golf course. That's not the case. They have to file documents in a court. It has to be approved. There will be appeals options. This will take a lot of time. But really the only story that Trump should be saying out there when he comments on this is Bernie Madoff conducted the largest Ponzi scheme ever in the state of New York. 37,000 victims he wiped out of their retirement savings, and his bond was $10 million. And Trump's is $454 million, and there is no victim, not one. Again, Bernie Madoff, largest Ponzi scheme ever, 37,000 victims, $10 million bond. Trump's bond, no victims, $454 million. I mean, anybody even on the left knows this is a joke. It's just a game to them. This is just politics to them. It is solely a game at this point. They are just having fun jacking around with Trump. That's all they're doing. And I think they're starting to realize none of these cases are going to be resolved before November. Nothing's going to happen. And every time they do, you would almost think at this point they just back off. Just back off and say, we're shutting all of them down. The more they come after him, the better he does in the polls. And it makes sense. Americans, look, I don't think that highly of the electorate. I think there's a lot of dumb voters out there that don't know much. And there's even more dumb people that don't vote, which is good. Because I've never been one of these things of get out the vote. That's not me. I don't believe in that. There's too many stupid people that don't pay attention to anything to encourage them to go vote. We don't want them voting. If you don't know anything about what's going on and you don't know what's good for the country and you don't care, you just want to live your life, just go live your life. I'm totally good with that. Don't be an uninformed voter. Don't be stupid. Don't vote. I'm not a get-out-the-vote guy. I'm a get-out-the-conservative-vote guy. I've never understood that. Vote, vote, vote. I don't get it. But the more they do this to him, a lot of people, I mean a lot of people in the middle, swing voters, and apparently there's a bunch of them because nobody likes either one of these candidates. There's a lot of swing voters. They look at this and they know it's politics. And I think the great way for Trump to drive it home now is to bring up Bernie Madoff's name. 37,000 victims. He wiped out their retirement. Largest Ponzi scheme ever in the same state. And his bond was $10 million. Trump's is 45 times that. I just say it. Bring it. People are early voting right now on the stadium referendum in Jackson County, Missouri. The Kansas City Star and Dave Helling. I worked with Dave Helling for 10 years at Channel 4. Good guy, liberal. I think he's, by today's standards, he's a conservative Democrat. I think that's fair to say. I'm having a hard time figuring out if Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals agree on this, that the answer is to vote no, how it's going to pass. But I've also don't believe in the system very much. And I certainly don't know how Jackson County and Kansas City, Missouri, with 2 weeks of early voting, are going to avoid, with the resources the Chiefs and Royals have, some sort of organized campaign, shall we say, to increase the yes vote. That's the sweetest way I can say it. I'm sorry. Dave Helling writes in a piece for the Star over the weekend, "The Royals and Chiefs, beloved community assets, have turned into mercenaries willing to sell themselves to the highest bidder. It's tragic. It will take the teams years to recover," unquote. Don't agree with the last part. I don't think the Chiefs have to recover from anything because all they do is win. I don't think the Chiefs are the issue. Helling writes in this piece that this has been the most half-baked, slipshod, amateurish effort perhaps ever in Kansas City's history. Now that, Mr. Helling, you and I agree on. And I've repeatedly said over the last few months that my vote would be no, simply because they haven't earned it. It's been sloppy and amateurish. That's what I've said from the beginning. It's sloppy. It's ugly. It was not a very good effort by the Royals. And the Chiefs have just been along for the ride. And have you noticed Mayor Q, who loves the cameras and the microphones, has been really quiet? Where's Mayor Q on this? I mean, for the first time ever, I'm starting to think it could go down and not pass. And the main reason I think that is, I'm just looking at people on the right and the left are saying vote no, which is amazing. And Mayor Q is nowhere to be found. Like, Mayor Q must think it's going down because he doesn't want to be attached to it. That's all I can think, because all Mayor Q is in anything for is Mayor Q. We know how this works. He's a liberal Democrat, and he's all in it for Mayor Q and nothing else. And he is nowhere. And I don't know what plan B is for Mayor Q. But I'll tell you what. If he's the presiding mayor over the worst murder rate in Kansas City history and loses the Royals or the Chiefs from his city, even to go across the state line, he's got a chance to go down as the worst mayor in the history of Kansas City. I'm not kidding. I don't care that you built an airport or the World Cup came. Whatever. You didn't really build the airport. That was long on board before you were in office, right? So, okay, the murder rate's out of control. You had a mass shooting at your Chiefs parade. You've marched to defund the police and kneeled with George Floyd protesters as mayor. And if you lose one of these teams across the state line, I'm not a historian, but I think you're the worst mayor in history in Kansas City. That's all on the line for Mayor Q. Oh, what a shame. What could possibly go wrong when you elect an elite Ivy League liberal to be your mayor? What could possibly go wrong? Great story out of Denver. Well, not a great story. It's a terrible story out of Denver, but it shines a light on something that is great for all of us. I have talked a little bit about the old La Quinta Inn at 95th and I-35 in Johnson County. It's in Lenexa, where I live. And the second we elected our liberal mayor, this thing got passed. And our lead executive in Johnson County, the crazy guy from Prairie Village, is now running the county. The liberals are in charge. They immediately got this hotel and said they're going to turn it into I don't know the word they use for this. But it's going to basically be a homeless shelter. We're going to wind up having migrants there. It's not just going to be homeless in Kansas City. It's going to be migrants. So they're doing this with old hotels everywhere. And as Kansas City is, and Johnson County liberals especially are, they follow the trends in the big cities where things are going really bad and say, let's bring this to the suburbs. Because certainly everybody in the suburbs now wants this to be like the inner city. So let's do this. These people aren't on the streets of Lenexa. They're not on the streets of Johnson County. They're going to have to find people to put in this La Quinta Inn. They did this at Denver at a DoubleTree Hotel, and they studied the crime rates in the months before and the months after putting the residents in here. And well, what do you know? In the neighborhood, which I think they defined as like 6 square blocks or something, in the neighborhood around this converted DoubleTree with all these migrants and homeless people, crime in Denver is up 2,900%. Not 29%, not 290%, 2,900%. Denver converted to DoubleTree. Lenexa, Oak Park Mall area, 95th and I-35. Costco is by there. You got some carjackings coming. It's coming. Lenexa's finest better be all over the place. Johnson County Sheriff Calvin Haven better have some sheriff's deputies hanging around that place all the time because they're not putting the best of us in there. What's next? Well, the liberals are now writing stories all over the place that it's nice that we're converting old hotels. But America's real problem is empty malls. We need to convert malls into shelters for homeless people. Homeless is a key word or catchphrase for illegal alien. Let's take our tax dollars, let's convert the old hotels, let's convert the malls, and let's bring them in from Venezuela, Guatemala, Mexico, let's bring them all. And let's eventually get them to vote. Unbelievable. And we're going to keep an eye on crime stats, Lenexa, after they convert that thing and turn that into whatever it is that they want to call it. They never call anything by the real name. If you can't say illegal alien anymore, you can't call anything by the real name. It's not possible. You don't have it in you to do that, which is kind of a sad deal. Our final today is brought to you by Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. We got some rain here over the weekend. If you're seeing some water coming in a little bit, call Buck Roofing today for a free inspection, 913-384-2680, and they are experts at working with your insurance company to find out if this is an insurance claim for you. 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. GreatLifeKC.com. Play more golf. Golf and fitness memberships all over Kansas City. Classic member is 6 courses for one price from Leavenworth to Blue Springs. Play them all. Or their signature clubs like Staley Farms, Prairie Highlands, Falcon Ridge, and Canyon Farms all have limited memberships available right now. For one monthly fee, you play all the golf you want. Now, Great Life KC has branched out all over the country. They have over 57 courses, destination clubs like Osage National at the Lake, Tallgrass Club in Wichita, clubs throughout the Carolinas and in the Southeast. If you'd like to send an email to learn more, just shoot it off to join@greatlifegolf.com. That's join@greatlifegolf.com or log on to greatlifekc.com and play more golf. Maybe you'll be playing more golf this year with a beautiful smile from Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Everybody's goals are individual, and Fry Orthodontics is really good at diagnosing and working with you on what your goal is. Maybe it's the uppers, maybe it's the lowers, maybe it's just a pair in the front. Whatever that is, they want you to be happy. It's what you want at Fry Orthodontics. 14 locations. Get that smile for life with Invisalign or braces. Same price. Ceramic, metal braces, Invisalign, all the same. And eliminate excessive treatment. You can do video appointments as well. Once you get started, teeth love us. You will too. Online at fryorthodontics.com. Our final is back to UConn basketball and their head coach, Dan Hurley, who has some bizarre superstitions before every game. And we only bring this up because we love the fact that Patrick Mahomes has won 3 Super Bowls wearing the same underwear. He's got a superstition. You may think it's disgusting. I don't care. I'm not around the guy. I don't care what kind of underwear. I mean, seriously, whatever it takes, man, go win yourself a game. So people have laughed at Mahomes for this. I think superstitions in sports are fun. I love them. Dan Hurley's the head coach of UConn. They're the defending national title. He has started a superstition and tradition before every game of 8 M&Ms, plain, not peanut, a cup of bulletproof coffee. I guess that's a brand. I don't know. And he wears Red Dragon underwear, and now he's wearing the same suit. Now, they're at fancy hotels that can do dry cleaning and cleaning really fast. You get a day off between games. But apparently his wife travels with something called a portable washing machine. Now, I don't know that I'd need the portable washing machine. I think I could wash the underwear in the sink pretty easily. But what you might need is a dryer. Now, you got a hair dryer that works. If you wash them after your game and you don't play again, you're not going to get up for 36 more hours. They'll probably dry in 36 hours, especially if they're the kind that, you know, you can wear swimming or whatever that dry out pretty fast. I don't know, but I like this, and I like the fact that he says what's on his mind. Dan Hurley, up 30 points yesterday was about as intense as any coach I've ever seen. He's literally, when I talked about Bill Self earlier today, we're watching some coaches in this tournament that are entering their prime, and we see the intensity in the way they coach, and it's just different. And that's not unusual. Athletes are the same way. We know the prime of their careers in their 20s. We know that across all sports. Into their 30s a lot of times can be very, very great. But we know coaches can be like this too, that they're most – now I'm not talking about baseball where it's just strategy and you're not really motivating anybody day to day. You're just filling out a lineup card and going. I'm talking about sports where it – this tournament going forward, it's going to take some attitude now. You're going to have to bring it as a coach. You're going to need to bring a whole bunch of attitude. I think Buzz Williams lost 20 pounds in that game last night. He was running and jumping around so much. We've seen it with a lot of coaches and their intensity. And I've enjoyed that. I like seeing that intensity from these coaches. It's exciting to see them care this much. And Dan Hurley is one of them, even though he's won the title. They're the defending champs. And boy, does he have some superstitions. They're going to be tough to beat. They got a lot of weapons. It's UConn versus San Diego State coming up. Illinois versus Iowa State. That's going to be a great game. Carolina plays Alabama. Clemson plays Arizona. Tennessee and Creighton. Purdue versus Gonzaga. That's a terrific game. Marquette, NC State, and Duke versus Houston. The Sweet 16 is set. It's going to be a lot of fun on Thursday. The Royals are going to play the Twins. Beautiful weather. If you want to come to our watch party, become a patron this week. Sign up. Become a patron. You will learn the location. I'm getting a free taco bar for everybody. I'm bringing t-shirts to give away. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a lot cheaper than a ticket. If you just want to go enjoy opening day with the Royals with a whole bunch of like-minded Royals fans that are conservative and love America, I've got over 100 RSVPs to this event. This is the biggest patrons event yet, and it is not close. We've got a venue that's pretty large. We're going to be able to accommodate it, and we'd love to have you join up as a patron. Go to kksissues.com. It takes less than 5 minutes. It's $5.99 a month. And we'd love to have you on board for the Patron Podcast. There will be a newsletter out later today on Monday because I didn't get it done over the weekend traveling. We'll do the newsletter and get that out later on Monday. And we're having a big old Patron Party on Thursday for the Royals opener. If you don't, I understand. I'm all good with that. Just hitting the play button is quite an honor for you to listen to this podcast. I appreciate it. And I know many of you, if not most of you, if not all of you, have told friends about the podcast. We're over 70,000 followers to this podcast now. I am so excited and happy about that. The next goal, obviously, is 100,000. Can we get to 100,000 followers? I never would have dreamed it. Tell your friends about it. Hit that like, follow, or subscribe button. That's absolutely free. Absolutely free. To hit the like, follow, or subscribe button and become a follower of Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Kevin Kietzman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.